It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello and welcome to Honey Do Me podcast. I am Emma, and at Honey Do Me, we are focusing on getting you laid, whether that's by yourself or by a partner. And we talk about your relationships. We talk about our relationships in great, great TMI detail. Questions you have, questions we have, things that you didn't need to know about us, but we share anyways. That is what we do here. And this is actually very exciting because we are jumping into a new month, a new topic, and I'm here to introduce it to you. And I cannot wait because in the month of May, we are focusing on bringing you episodes that set you up for the absolute best, hottest, wettest, if you want, summer of hookups. We want to send you into summer flying high, soaring through the sky, picking up dates, picking up babes, having sex, and just being fucking fun. That's basically the mood. We want you to have the best summer of your life. And so to start that off, we are talking today with Talia Corin. She also hosts the podcast Dating Intentionally. And we are talking with Talia today about dating intentionally, but casually. So how to casually go out into the world and get what you're looking for without necessarily the end game of being in a relationship. What I love so much, and Talia talks about this within the first like 3 seconds of the episode, so it's not a giveaway, but Talia begins her like casual dating initiative at 29. And that's a year older than I am right now. And I feel like I can't casually date, or that there's social pressure that casually dating when you're in your late 20s is like a waste of your time because you should be looking for your forever person. But that doesn't, like, that's so much pressure. And like, that's not fun. When I'm meeting people, I don't want to be immediately vetting them to see if they're going to be my future partner. That's not how I want to engage with people. I want to be fun and flirty and pressure-free and have sex with them if I want. And then we agree we're not gonna hang out anymore. And I want that to be okay without feeling like I've just wasted an opportunity of meeting someone that I'm going to marry or have kids with. It's not always fucking about that. Sometimes it's just about fucking, and I want that to be fine. I am obsessed with this episode. There is a frame of mind that I do not have, but Talia does, and it's just so clear. The way that she puts it, the way that she approached casually dating was one with the stamina of 1,000 bulls. And I am envious of her. She'll get so far into how hard she went and I fucking love it. But yeah, it's just so cut and dry. It's just so like you go out there and you're selfish and you date for you. And I think that was just so motivational. I have a new sense of motivation going into the summer after talking to Talia. So I'm really excited for you guys in this episode. Another thing I want to mention is that at the end of May, we are heading into our summer break, but your second summer rewind. So all summer long, we will be re-releasing episodes that keep you motivated to keep having the best sex of your life. And we will be back for our next season in September, but you can expect a weekly episode from us still for June, July, and August. They're just episodes you've already heard before, but I think that's great because we all need a refresher on some old tried and true, some old staples. I don't know. Whatever. You're going to love it, and we're excited for you. But for now, here is Talia. Enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side.
Thank you guys so much for having me here. I'm so excited to get into it. If you don't know who I am, I'm Talia. I am the voice and person behind Dating Intentionally. And I started Dating Intentionally when I was dating because I realized none of my friends who were single were having fun. And I was like the only one having fun. And I was like, what's going on here? There's got to be something I can do to help people. But no, for real, I've always been really into relationships and learning about them. My parents are divorced, and I feel like I was in high school when that happened. So I just really was fascinated from a very young age about how relationships work and how I could, you know, avoid divorce, which sounds sad, but that's really honestly a big motivator for me and why I'm such a nerd about communication and dating.
Yeah. I mean, hell yeah. Well, we're so excited to have you on to chat about this summer. We're getting into like casual dating, hookups, and how to get into that state of mind. But you sound like you come from the perfect background because, yeah, we want to have fucking fun, but do it in a way that like serves our own intentions as well. I feel like that's huge.
Yes, and for your listeners, just quick context, I was in a long relationship for 6 years in most of my 20s, and then I was single at 29. I went on about 200 dates with 64 people in 10 months.
Holy shit.
Most of that was me not dating for a relationship. Most of that was honestly me just dating for the practice, for the fun, for the stories, all that.
For the plot.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And now I'm engaged. So it worked. So yeah.
Holy shit. That's incredible. So how did you get into that framework, that state of mind to be that dedicated to dating? And were you dating with the mindset of like, I'm having fun, I'm hooking up, I'm learning myself? Or were you dating, you said, not with the intention of getting into a relationship?
I mean, being in a relationship with the wrong person for 6 years will do that to you, right? Sure, I was so excited to date and get out there with everything that I had learned in that relationship. It taught me so much. Mm-hmm. So I was excited to go from, like, I was single at age 23 and then age 29. So when I entered the dating world at 29, I had the mindset of a 23-year-old. It was pretty hilarious. So yeah, I mean, I think honestly, just knowing coming out of that relationship that I wasn't ready to be in another one, that was honestly where I started and why I was able to have just go in with that no pressure mindset of like, I'm just exploring, I'm just learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, we want to learn more about ourselves, but me, I come from always a hopeless romantic view, and I want to be both. I want to be able to casually date and be a hopeless romantic. And sometimes that feels a little hard to do both. Do you have any sort of experience with feeling like getting too caught up when you're still just trying to be casual?
I think you need to get really clear on what you want and where you are in your life. Like, you have to be really honest with yourself. So I didn't really get too caught up in things. I mean, I did have a rebound, I would call it, a couple months after, like into my journey, when I had already gone on like a dozen dates or so, like with people, and I did meet someone that I like had a little rebound with, but I knew I wasn't ready to work on it with someone. I wasn't ready to make it work, to work through those, you know, little hiccups you have in the beginning where it's like, if you really like them, you will figure it out. And if you don't, you'll just move on. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say I had that, like, you know, the hopeless romantic vibe, because I just was over it. I was not emotionally available for that. I was not. I just wanted to like meet someone 3 times, maybe have sex, maybe not, and then move on. Like, that was just the rotation I was doing. And I was honestly more focused on exploring my city. I had just moved to Seattle during the pandemic, and I didn't really know much about it. So dating was a way for me to explore, try new restaurants, try new bars, right? So I was focused on a lot of other, I didn't want a connection. I really didn't. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like I see so many like shitty clips from men's podcasts of like, if you're not dating for marriage, like, what are you doing?
Everything else.
I would love if, literally anything else. I would love if you could talk a little bit more about what you think the benefits are of dating casually, of dating around, dating multiple people. You talked about, you know, you were exploring a new city, like learning yourself. What else, like, can we get out of that type of dating?
Yeah. And before we get into it, I just want to say one thing. I was upfront with people, and I want listeners to be upfront. Like, you do, part of your end of the bargain here is stating your intentions clearly so the other person knows that you're not available for a relationship, that that's not what you're looking for right now. And they can be right. on the same page, and hopefully they know they won't try to change your mind or mm-hmm. convince you otherwise. But yeah, so back to your question, the benefits of dating casually, I would say, are tapping into your own desirability, which I don't talk a lot about on my podcast, but I think it makes you feel very desired, and it makes you feel like, because you don't care. Like, you don't care what the outcome is. You're not trying to build a relationship, but you're still getting attention. And I talk a little bit about dating for validation on my podcast, and I think mm-hmm. there is a way to do that in a positive way. Like, to be like, oh, I am desirable. People do like being mm-hmm. my presence. People mm-hmm. are and like, do want to have a good time with me. So I think there is a benefit there of just like proving to yourself that you are worthy of going on a date. Like, that you mm-hmm. are worthy of. Yeah. And I know. Yeah. I hope, does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. That makes sense. Yeah. And it hits home completely. Yeah. Because I think I have a lot of conflict when it comes to feeling desirable, because I also feel that if someone finds me desirable, it is now my responsibility to keep that up and to be mm-hmm. someone worth desiring continuously. Yeah. And right. like, be someone that people are putting energy and effort into, so therefore the reward that they're going to get is a relationship with me. And I guess, yeah, maybe I just put a lot of like value in being a relationship girl and not someone that could just be fun and casual. I don't know if
but you can both have value, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you, it's, I would say it's hard to do both at the same time. Like, if you are dating for a relationship, going down the path of a random hookup or like an entertaining a friends with benefits will not get you closer to your goal, which is mm-hmm. fine. Like, we don't need to be so goal oriented in dating, but just know that mm-hmm. like, you have to just be aware of that. So, but I think it's okay to just have fun and take the pressure off yourself. I think that's another thing that it taught me, and I hope other people get this experience, is like, we put so much pressure on ourselves for if we go on a date, it has to work out. And then when it doesn't, we get really disappointed. But when you date casually, there, that pressure is gone, and it just gives you a more positive outlook on dating in general, so that when you are ready to date, you will have that experience of like, I've had fun doing this, and I can still have fun doing it, even if I'm looking for a relationship.
Yes. You're like building those neural pathways that exactly. like dating is fun.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
Are there things that you had to say to yourself to keep the pressure off while you were dating casually? Like, for me, I am someone that puts pressure on just about everything I do, especially when it comes to dating. But I tried a casual phase last year, and it was great. And I think I did relatively well at it, but still that like pressure of like, but you're 28, you're single. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you're just dating casually? Or what do you mean? Like, you don't want to text them all the time because you're just trying to be like fun and silly. Like, what, the pressure seeps in regardless.
Yes, that is so relatable. And mm-hmm. I would used to tell myself it was inevitable, right? I would meet someone that, like, I would get into a relationship in the long term. Like, I've done it before, I will do it again. There are many, it's like having an abundance mentality, just knowing that mm-hmm. it will happen simply because I want it to, right? And that's powerful. It's like, if you're putting your energy in that direction, it will happen. It's like, especially for this type of thing, I think, maybe not everything in life, but you'll at least get closer to it if you're putting your energy. So it's like, yeah, I think I just trusted that I could have this phase. Also, I knew for me in my situation that I wasn't ready to be in a relationship, and I wasn't going to rush that healing process because I wouldn't have been a good partner. Like, that wouldn't have been healthy for anyone mm-hmm. involved. So it's like, I knew I had to do that work of healing before I was ready to jump in. And you can do that work while dating casually. You don't have to like stop dating, go to therapy, read mm-hmm. the books, listen to the podcast, mm-hmm. and then date. Like, you can do all of it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love all the permission you're giving. Yeah, you were just laying it on. I fucking love it.
How else are you going to learn how to trust yourself if you don't do things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love if we could get a little bit into the definition of casual dating, because I feel like that would probably differ between people. Like, maybe for some people that's like, I don't go past a third date, or I don't talk about anything that's like this level of seriousness. What does casual dating mean to you?
Great question. Mm-hmm. To me, it means it's not going to lead to a relationship. Like, it's like,
okay,
it's going to be a short-term, bite-size it's not even going to be a situationship. It's literally just going to be, we see each other maybe once a month, a couple times, or we see each other four times in a month and then it goes nowhere. Because if you keep seeing someone, it's going to get messy. It's going to get complicated. Mm-hmm. It's going to lead to a situationship. So I think all successful casual dating, when I say successful, I mean like you're not destroying your emotions. Mm-hmm. like you're coming out on the other side, like mostly unscathed. Mm-hmm. That is going to be short-term dating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then what are you saying to people if you're going in with your definition of casual dating of like, this is a few times, this is sporadic, you know, like what do you tell people to set them up for that expectation?
Well, this isn't perfect, but I would just say I'm not looking for a relationship right now. And then I think that was enough to communicate that this was going to be a short term or friends with benefits, mm-hmm. or nothing, you know, just mm-hmm. and that was like kind of it. And the people I dated were cool with that. Maybe some were like, maybe I can change your mind. Some came, mm-hmm. I did way more rejecting than I got rejected. And I think that's because I knew I wasn't trying to carry it on. I think that I probably could have, like, I dated some great guys casually. Like, there were some winners for sure, but I wasn't ready. Like, you know, just, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I just didn't want to be a girlfriend. So mm-hmm. I definitely was the one to call things off, you know, after 2, 3, 4 dates. Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If somebody said like, oh, I bet I can change your mind, or like you could tell that they had that intention, do you think it's your responsibility to cut it off at that point? Or can you kind of like let it happen? And
I think it depends on where you are in front? Your healing, or like where, like mm-hmm. how open you are. Cause I'm pretty like, I wasn't on the fence. I'm not really on the fence about mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty nice. Decisive.
But I think if you are someone who is on the fence, or you could kind of, you're open, then that's fine. You know, that, yeah, of course. You know, if you're willing to see where something goes, knowing that it might end and you might have some pain there, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to have resilience in all, no matter if you're dating casually or not, like resilience is really important.
Absolutely.
Let's talk more about resilience and being someone that goes into an experience knowing that they're probably going to feel a little pain, even if they want it to be casual. So how? I mean,
help.
I'm so avoidant of things that I know are going to hurt my feelings, or when I know I'm going to hurt someone else's. Like I've been in a couple situations.
I feel
where,
like I'm avoidant of that too. I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that's not like a profound thing to say, but yeah. I mean, I'll want to follow through with something casual because it's really fun, but the pressure starts weighing on me of like, I don't see this as my forever person. I'm going to hurt my feelings if I keep hanging out with them, and I'm probably going to hurt their feelings. And then that like shuts me off. But I feel like that starts to get into too many things when you're just trying to be fun and sparkly.
That's the thing about casual relationships. Like it works best when you don't get that deep and you don't overthink it and get stuck in the weeds there. And like, you know, so it's like, mm-hmm. if you're going to have fun and you're starting to catch feelings, you need to acknowledge that and pull yourself out before it gets really tangled up. You know, and that's if you know you're not looking for a relationship.
Right.
If you are, like, you have permission to explore that too. So it's like, it's every step of the way. It is just, what do I want? What do I want? What do I not what this person wants, not how they're going to feel. I hate to say our ego hates hearing this, but they'll get over it if you leave, you know, it's not going to ruin their life. They're an adult, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's you really got to, I think casual dating and also early dating in general is more about selfish dating, like putting your needs first, what you want first, your path. And because these people are strangers,
right? Mm-hmm.
Like these people are total strangers, and you're going to have your connection, and then maybe that connection was just meant to serve that 1 month of their life and your life, and that was it. Okay. And in terms of resilience, like I think just knowing really what you want and mm-hmm. being like, I signed up for this, you know, it's like knowing like, yep, this is what I signed up for. And I'm an adult, I'm a big girl, I'm a big boy, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got this, you know,
right.
If you're listening to this, you've probably been hurt in the past and you're alive. You made it through. You've learned how to deal with it better mm-hmm. for the next time and you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing I love more than talking to a decisive person because you make things so much more clear. Cass mm-hmm. and I don't think we would describe ourselves. I mean, relatively, yes, I can make a decision. But do I go into most things being like, how do I not hurt others? How do I not hurt myself? How do I make this decision happiest for everyone involved? Yes.
Yeah, I think we got to throw that out. I mean, I know I sound really harsh. I think it's easier said than done if you, especially, I am a people pleaser in some ways too. And I'm also avoidant. I was going to say I ghost people, right? It's the way I avoided pain mm-hmm. in this phase is I was such a ghoster. I ghosted so many people. I had to get that skill though. Like that's the thing about casual mm-hmm. dating and like multi-dating, right? Dating multiple people at a time is you learn these skills and you get better. Like you become mm-hmm. a better person, a better dater along the way, hopefully.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk to me perfect. You might make some mistakes and you might hurt some people, but again, they will get over it. Mm-hmm. And so
go ahead. That's a good point. What are some of those skills that you need to have to date multiple people or that you need to work on building?
So yeah, I think ghosting is one of them, like, or not ghosting. So my profile, if you go to on my Instagram, I have pinned at the top is anti-ghost texts. So these are texts that real people have sent, not me, just other people that my audience sent me, that you can send to people to break it off. So that's one thing. It's just knowing mm-hmm. when to communicate, like, hey, great talking to you, but I'm not interested in, you know, at this point. Mm-hmm. Good luck, you know, just kind of something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one skill is being able to share. That's like real vulnerability. You're sharing your feelings. You're learning to put your stake in the ground and be like, you know what? I'm communicating how I feel with you and this is the end. On the other side, it's communicating, you know, oh, I feel this way and I want more. Mm-hmm. That's a skill that we all, that is so scary. It is so terrifying. Yes, right? Yes. That moment of like admitting or revealing you want more with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a skill. And I guess also, I mean, I think being someone who people like dating, I know that sounds weird, but just like being a good dater, it's like good dating hygiene, good text hygiene, like texting people back, not waiting for people to arrange plans with you, but actually arranging the plans too. You know what I mean? Like the reciprocation mm-hmm. part. That's also a good skill to have no matter what kind of dating you're doing.
Absolutely. That's a really good point too, because I think – I've often forgot about reciprocating things when it's like, and a part of this is being selfish, you know, dating for yourself and dating for your own. So it's like, if you don't want to go on a date, you don't, but you still need to reciprocate, whether that's communication or whatever. So that's a super good point.
Yeah. Like treating others how you want to be treated, right? The golden mm-hmm. rule. So it's like, if you want someone to not ghost you, then probably don't ghost people.
Right. Probably don't ghost people. So another aspect on communicating, if you're using apps to do such a thing, are you making this known on your profile so that people aren't like even trying to match with you if casual dating isn't what they're interested in?
Absolutely. And I think there are a lot of ways to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the apps these days have a setting where you can say what you're looking for, which I think is great to use. You don't have to take up prompt space to say what you're looking for. You could just say like, figuring out my dating goals, casual, whatever it is, or mm-hmm. leave it blank. I think a lot of times leaving it blank is a sign that you are either not looking for something serious or don't know, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think when you're messaging with someone, you know, you can bring it up on a first date. You can bring it up like, hey, by the way, like, what are you hoping to get out of the dating app experience right now? Like that kind of question, like an open-ended one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should you lead with like your intention if you're casual? Be like, what are you hoping to get? And they're like, oh, a lover. And you're like, I'm not. And then you're like, bye.
I mean, that can happen. That's fine. Right. If that happens on the app, then you've just saved yourself a date. But it can also happen on a date. And then you're like on the date. You
know? Yeah.
So or a phone call or whatever you're doing to screen people. Mm-hmm. Look, you're going to – with dating apps, it's a crapshoot. Like you're going to run into people who have one thing on their profile, but they forgot to update it or they were – they have no idea what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good just to bring it up, even if their profile says something, like just to see where they're. Also, it's like you're on a dating app. You're allowed to talk about dating.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good point.
Fucking yeah. Oh, such a good point.
How many people do you think someone can casually date effectively at one time?
I love this question. I tested a lot of different things.
Amazing.
I found my magic number was 3. So I had 3 people in my rotation at all times, unless I was dating one person I really liked. And I did, but like, again, after I was done with the casual phase, I did move into like exclusivity with some people. Mm-hmm. But mostly if I was talking to 3 people, then I was not using the apps. I was not arranging new dates. I would let those 3 ride out. And then if a slot opened up, I would then go back to the apps and date someone else. So that was my, and I think that's a lot. Like, I think that's way more than what most people can manage. Like I did this very aggressively after being in a relationship for so long and like dying to get out there. So I would say I think 2 is probably pretty reasonable for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like just talking. I always say like if you're dating casually or if you're trying not to get feelings, like talk to multiple people. At least just message. Mm-hmm. You don't have to date. Just have a few irons in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Eggs in a basket.
Love all your answers.
Thank you.
I just love everything you've said. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Thank you.
When you have your roster of individuals, are you approaching each with the same goal, I guess? Like, is one for dates? Is one for sex? Is one for whatever? I don't know what else you do, but like, <Yeah. laughs> or is it kind of we all just see how the relationship itself evolves?
I mean, I did. Okay. So of the 64 first dates I went on, I had 30 second dates and 17 third dates. And like 11 fourth dates. So it's like most of these people were just first dates.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Especially early on. So I think that honestly was just like, so my main goal honestly was just getting reps in and having fun conversations. And again, exploring Seattle. Like I wasn't using these people. I'm not saying like people are disposable. It's just like that's where I was. And it's okay to have a lot of first dates. It doesn't make you a bad person. I also was giving them practice, you know,
totally.
It's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you're fucking welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm a delight to talk to you. So, yeah.
Where are you going with people on first dates? Like what is a good spot to
I tested a lot of things with this too. Mm-hmm. So I think, well, it depends. If you're dating casually, I think the rules are the suggestions are a lot more open because mm-hmm. you don't really care where it's going to go. So you could do the dinner date, you're taking a lot of risks, but you could do whatever. Typically, though, if you're doing more of a vibe check, especially from dating apps, I think a coffee, drinks, or a walk is pretty standard. Because again, mm-hmm. the first date is a vibe check. It should be short, sweet. See if you want another one. Don't lock yourself into like, I once did a omakase first date. Don't recommend that for so many reasons.
But what is
like,
that?
Omakase is when you have the Japanese, you're sitting at the counter in a Japanese restaurant and they're giving you sushi one piece at a time. So it's a very long, slow dinner. It's very expensive and you're interrupted every 5 minutes when they give you a piece of sushi, which is doesn't make it a great first date at all. So don't recommend that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say you can keep it simple.
Yeah. I once got taken on a first date to a movie. And then I realized movies were terrible first date spots.
Horrible. Was that his idea or their
yes,
idea?
Yes, it was his idea. And you know what was worse, though, is that it was a drive-in movie. And it makes it worse because you're like, do we watch the movie? Do we try to get to know each other? We're in this car that's more quiet than a movie theater.
I can see how that makes it worse.
There was so much left to not know.
And the audio is like slightly staticky.
Slightly staticky. Yeah.
Coming through the fucking radio.
See, this is why it's so important to talk about this stuff. You did it for us. We don't have to do the drive-in movie first date. So thank you, Emma.
Never do it. Don't.
Well, because it sounds kind of cute. You know what I mean? Like it sounds like a cute idea, but then logistically it's like.
Yeah, that would have been better fourth date.
Fourth. Yes. Yeah. Great.
Ugh. Yeah, there'd probably be like some making out, like, you know, some. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Cass, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask if there's any line you don't cross in dating.
For casual dating?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Like, I mean, yeah, I think it's just staying within your comfort zone, mm-hmm. right? Don't do anything mm-hmm. that makes you feel uncomfortable or unsafe. That's really the only line I think you need to pay attention to. You got to stick to your boundaries. Cannot be in people-pleasing mode saying yes to things that you really don't want to do. There's no There's no ROI on that.
In that same vein, do you have any general rules around sex that you would recommend people consider when casually dating?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, stay in your comfort zone. You can casually date without having sex with anyone. I definitely did not have sex with everyone that I went out with. And I think people, when they hear casual dating, they think, oh, you're just having sex with everyone. And it's like, no, you can literally just go on dates. But I think with sex, you definitely want to, you want to be comfortable enough with them to have a conversation about, like, hey, we're going to use condoms and, like, you know, when was your last STI check? Like, if you I know it's like so it's such an unsexy conversation to have, but it's important. And I think that's it's OK to just make that pit stop along, you know, getting to the bedroom.
Right.
And to keep yourself safe. But I think, again, if you trust yourself, feel like you are comfortable with that person, go for it. Go for whatever you want. You also don't have to go all the way. You can fool around. Like, there's so much in between that you can do. So I would just say you prioritize your comfort and safety and then go have fun.
Be free, if you will.
Enjoy.
Did you have, and you don't have to get too personal, so maybe you just have a rule of thumb. Okay. I love it. Did you have like a testing routine of like when you do get tested and after how many partners when you're casually dating?
I've had one since college.
Okay. Love it.
Yes. Yeah. So I think for me, it was like I would just kind of go every quarter. That was kind of like a, you know, if my insurance allowed, I definitely, it depended on insurance because there were some years my insurance did not cover it and it was really expensive. So maybe I did it less. But like, yeah, that was pretty much my goal, was like three or four times a year, depending. Of course, when I was in a relationship, I wasn't doing that because,
Did that conversation ever feel awkward, like when you were asking somebody else what their status was or if they had been tested?
No, but I definitely ran into some awkward conversations, just moments around condom use, which I found really surprising. Again, in my late 20s, early 30s dating, and I'm like, this is still a thing. Like, some guys would complain. It's just like, you're out. I'm not doing, like, sorry, bro. Like, get out of my room. You know? So, yeah, I think that was honestly was the more awkward conversation than the STIs.
Absolutely.
Some weird behavior out there. You gotta have the conversation. Don't assume that they have condoms on them. Like, just have your own stash. Like,
Oh, yeah. What do you bring? Like, what are, like, do you have, like, a casual dating toolkit? And by that, I mean, like, physical things that you would keep with you?
I didn't, because I never did sleepovers. That was one of my boundaries. Okay. I find sleepovers to be super intimate. And I know I sound avoidant as hell right now. But I can be. But I just never did sleepovers. So I didn't bring anything. I just, like, would go home or I'd kick them out, you know, after hooking up or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And usually it was at my place. I didn't really want to theirs because, again, I didn't care about seeing their place. I wasn't dating them. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to judge your bookshelf or your bathroom, you know?
Your weird gray or navy blue sheets.
Exactly. Like, I know my home's clean. We're going to go there. Yeah,
we're going to go there. How would you kick people out?
Oh, I would just be like, I'm going to go to bed. One guy was like, oh, I drove here, like, because I think he usually biked to our dates. And I was like, I have to get up early tomorrow. Sorry, like, good night. He was definitely like, hell.
I love that.
But like, that's the selfish thing part. It's like, I don't care. I don't care that they did that. It doesn't, and even, I would do that even with someone I was dating in with a serious relationship. It's like, I'm not doing sleepovers until I'm in a relationship with you. Like, that's just not my style, you know? So
That's a super fair boundary. And I would find myself talking in circles if I was trying to kick someone out. I'd be like, wow, yeah, look at the door, that's a fun thing, we should open it. Maybe you should leave. I don't know. Like, I mean
like, you could be nice about it. It's like, I had a great time, I'm free this weekend, let's make plans. Like, you can still show interest and not make them feel completely rejected and just be like, I really like to, you know, sleep by myself.
Because I do, and that's not a lie. The way that you approach it seems so, and I know it probably wasn't all easy, but it feels, when you're like, when you deserve the selfish dating mentality, when you know that you deserve that, it does feel like it falls into place a lot easier than you think it would.
Wait, you're not, it's like when you're not trying to be liked, how would you act? If you just didn't care if they liked you, how would you act? And that's how you should act on dates.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying you should be an asshole. Like, yeah. Obviously, like, you yourself, just being yourself, you're not an asshole. You know, you're just a person, and like, you're allowed to have your needs and boundaries and things that make you comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that you don't need to quiet those parts of yourself just to make someone else more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. What a fucking shift. Damn, that one really hit.
Mm-hmm. I've never thought about people not liking me, or I have, but in a way of how do I prevent this?
But like, okay, we worry about this so much, but then you have to remember that people are in their own head trying to make you like them. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're not even really paying attention to what you're doing that much, unless they're just like a really judgmental person, in which case, why would you want to be around that?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Well, I think about that part from New Girl all the time when she's trying to do the dating app. And then Schmidt is like, do you just walk around thinking about other people's feelings all the time? And she's like, yes. He's like, well, how do you get anything done? She's like, it's really hard. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking hard to serve yourself when you're trying to serve so many other people at the same time. And the way that you're describing all of these situations that could be kind of sticky, you are giving very respectful and honest answers for people. You're not tricking them. You're not deceiving them. You're not ghosting them. Or at least you're learning how to not.
Well, yeah.
And you're trying to move past it.
You're right. Like when I would kind of end it with someone, I was honest. Just like, I'm not looking to go further right now. I'm not looking for a relationship. I don't have space for a relationship right now. Just all these things. And you could just be upfront about it. And that's okay. And yeah, casual dating, I think in a lot of ways is harder than what we want to call just traditional. I don't know, just dating for a relationship. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it is harder in a lot of ways because naturally, like if you spend time with someone in an intimate way, you probably will start developing some kind of emotion towards them, or you might not be what they might be. And then it's a whole mess. So going into the mindset that it's going to be short and sweet is going to save you a lot of heartache.
Well, it sounds like you've just had very clear boundaries the entire time. And I feel like boundaries are hard because we aren't necessarily taught how to create them, uphold them, all of that. And I think we're also taught that doing so is unkind, especially as people socialized as women. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
And if we're going with casual dating intentionally, what was your intention? And like, well, how did you know you were done casually dating? When did you feel like your intention was met, your goal was met?
Great question. I think, well, first of all, I set a boundary that I wanted to be single for a year, right?
Okay.
So right after my breakup, I didn't date for 3 months. I didn't touch the apps. I like just took 3 months. I went to Italy. I did my Eat, Pray, Love. I did like, you know, I hung out in New York with my family and friends and just like people who love me. And I did that. Then after 3 months, got on the apps. And then about like 6 to 8 months later, I started feeling open to letting someone in more and like open to working on things if there were like those conflicts or just like, okay, like here's an example of a time I wasn't open to that. I went out with this guy who was great guy, like green flags galore, but when we had sex, he didn't say anything nice about my body. And I really didn't like that. Like he didn't like verbally compliment my, my body, which is just like, if I'm in front of you naked, I want a compliment. Just like, come on.
Yeah,
like something, just some kind of reaction. And I was like, I told him that. And he was like, yeah, I don't really give compliments. And I'm like, I was like, okay. But, you know, and this is kind of not a great example. But like if I was ready for a relationship, that might be something I would be willing to work with him on, like, and be like, well, I actually like compliments. And I would, like, can, you know, make a request. But so it was like when I felt ready to start making those requests, when I felt ready to be vulnerable in that way of like about what I really needed and like how to actually be there for someone and step up as a partner, that's when I knew I was ready to shift from casual dating to finding a relationship. And then like 2 months later, I met my fiance.
Whoa. You put in the
hours. That's such a clear example. Mm-hmm. I love that example. That's a really good.
Like
we just don't think about those things.
Yeah, I think I was just, but you know, I wasn't like mourning my casual dating era, I think I also kind of had enough. Like, I was like, okay, like, mm-hmm. I've done 50 plus first dates. Mm-hmm. You know, I think my fiance was number 56. So
really? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Love it.
And yeah. How are you meeting people that you wanted to casually date? Was it all the apps, or were you very open and intentional about trying to meet people when you're out and about?
Both. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I use the apps mostly, but I definitely met lots mm-hmm. of people in real life. The pandemic was like just ending, so speed dating and singles mixers weren't back yet. And I wish they were. I would have done that. But yeah, it was just like through friends, random people like at the rock climbing gym, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of being out and about. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
So fun.
Yeah. But the apps, I think, are a really good place to go. I mean, I think Tinder is the best app for casual dating because people just get off the app quickly and meet. And there are also more people on Tinder than any other app.
Really?
Yes, you have to wade through a lot. And, you know, the way it's set up, like, you can kind of have an empty profile, which isn't great. So, like, you'll see a lot of people with, like, nothing in their profile and just pictures. But I do think Tinder is a good one. And but Hinge was my winner for sure.
Got it.
Okay. Do you have any like casual dating mishap stories that maybe we could learn from or just laugh so together?
Okay, hold on. So I tracked all my dates and that's how I know all these numbers. So easily, I'm just pulling up my tracker on my phone so I can just jog my memory. Hold on.
Fucking love that.
You're just a scientist.
I know. Well, I wanted to nail it. Like, that was really okay.
Did you use just your notes app?
Yes. So here, I'll show you guys. It's just a bunch of notes. I kept, there's emojis. It's an emoji key. It's like,
oh my
I wrote
God.
Down how many dates I went on with each guy, where we went on a first date, where I met them, everything. And that's, again, another way to keep it low pressure is making it an experiment, right? Like, how, what can I learn? How can I see my patterns? But let me think. I mean, honestly, I'm sad. I wish I had like a crazy story, but honestly, I really don't because most of my first dates were just like, meh. You know, like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess the first guy I went out with from the apps was like the one guy I made every single mistake in the book on. He was so hot. Like, he was just like the exact type of guy I wanted to have sex with after my breakup. Mm-hmm. Like, was so wrong for me. Like no compatibility. It's so attractive. And he was like from the South, like he like took me out, you know, paid for everything kind of thing, which I don't care about, but whatever. Yeah. And I did everything wrong. Like we met for brunch. And then the second time I went to his place, he was like, I'm really upset right now. Like, can you come over? And I was like, yes. But we're not going to do anything. And of course he did. And then like the third date, we went to this brewery in Seattle, which has unisex bathrooms, and we had sex in the bathroom. And then, like, and
sorry, you did things place. Wrong?
No, hold on. And then, like, we were going to meet up again, and then he went camping for the weekend, and he started tapering off, and I knew there was, like, another girl on that trip, and he, like, went out with that girl. And then I saw them at the climbing gym, like, a couple months later. I was like, oh, man, this guy's a player. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it was an experience. Like, that was just, but again, like, I jumped in hard. Like, I jumped into the deep end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, especially if that's your first time out of a relationship too, I would assume you're still calibrating what is casual and what is not.
Yeah. Like, I went way too far on the pendulum. Like that was like 23-year-old me coming back out of the woodwork.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was it that finally, and I know this summer we're focusing on casual and hooking up, but I'm also very curious that after almost 60 dates, what is it about your husband that you met that you were like, okay, I'm ready to be done. And this is like marking all my boxes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was just very persistent in a chill way. Like, he showed up. And he didn't play any games, which is obviously something you hear all the time. Like, they didn't play any games. Like, he really just, he like showed interest in me in a way that didn't scare me off, which is, as an avoidant, it's pretty easy to do. So he like, there, you know what it was? Like, we had started dating virtually because he wasn't in Seattle yet. He had an apartment, a job in Seattle, but he was like moving. He was in the, so he got on the apps early and like we had a couple virtual dates, and there was one night where he's like, oh, do you want to do like a quick phone call? And I was like, I'm kind of tired actually. And he's like, totally hear that. And he was just really chill about it. And that was just a huge green flag. It's like, okay, like I can just say no to this guy and he's not going to freak out. Like if I'm tired and putting myself first. And then when we met, it's just, again, like it was a slow burn. I was kind of on the fence at first. Like, I'm just like, I don't know. But that's the thing about dating for relationships. Like if you're on the fence or if you're not sure, you have to keep dating that person until you know either way. Mm-hmm. And date them till you hate them, right? Get to the no faster. If it's on a no, keep going. Like, so I just couldn't, there were literally no red flags with this guy. So I was like, okay, like at a certain point, I wouldn't call it a spark, but we clicked, right? On one of our early dates. And I just, he's just like my best friend. And I don't think I ever really had a real friendship in a romantic relationship before. I think I was always focused on how the relationship was serving me and not building an actual foundation. So I'm glad I did all the healing and all the casual dating and all of the work on my communication in that journey, because by the time I got to him, I was already doing all that very easily.
You were ready.
Yeah, I was ready.
Oh, that's so cool and such a good thing to like keep in mind. And were you ever worried that the person you ended up with, and I already know the answer to this, but would be scared off by how much you dated when you were like really committed to dating casually?
I mean, I was honestly more worried about them being scared off that I had a dating podcast and like a, you know, a more of a public life where I talk about this stuff.
Right.
That was more the scary part. And I did have a screw up moment where there was this guy I really liked before I met my fiance, and everything was going great, but it just never came up that I had this Instagram. I hadn't started the podcast yet. And one of my followers went and like told on me, essentially. Like they found his profile, sent him screenshots of the positive things I was saying about him, and told him, it's like, hey, this person's like talking about you online. And he didn't like that, obviously. And he broke things off with me because of that, which is like totally fair. I should have told him earlier, even though I was only saying nice things about him and I wasn't saying his name or anything, but like by the time I met my fiance, I was definitely putting that up front of like, I have this podcast, I have this Instagram, I will be talking about you.
Right. I've had to make those disclaimers too. I've learned,
right?
Because you guys know we love chatting about any and everything, and I'm the only one that's been dating since we started it because Cass is married. So, it's a hurdle because it's also kind of awkward. It's like, I don't want you to go listen, but also I need to be honest and tell you that I'm going to talk about our experience in great detail.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wow. Oh, this has been so, like, it's just so clear how you can do it. Like, that's crazy.
I hope I've inspired some people to get out there and casually date.
Yeah.
I don't know how you couldn't have. I'm almost ready to go out there and casually date at this point. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to make sure we cover before we close out?
I don't think so. We were very thorough. I just want people to get out there, go on dates, take the pressure off, lower the stakes, and be the chooser. Right. That's what I always say. Like, you're the one making the choice. You don't have to worry about being chosen. Like, you have to be the chooser.
Oh. Amazing. Where can our listeners continue connecting with you, learning from you, listening to your podcast, all that good stuff?
Yes. Well, you can slide on into my DMs at Dating Intentionally. It's dating.intentionally on Instagram. And I'm on TikTok and I have a podcast, Dating Intentionally. So yeah, just find me there. And thanks so much for having me, guys.
I would like to say that after this conversation with Talia, I did unpause my Hinge, and I don't know what that's going to bring me. Maybe nothing. Maybe I'll just look at pretty people while I'm also watching TV, while I'm also on my laptop in the evening. Or maybe I'll try to get back out there and go on a date. I don't know if I'll get to 200, but hey, I have this huge trip coming up in August. I'm very excited about it. It's a solo trip. And whilst I want to remain safe, I also think it could be fun to utilize a little international, I was going to say international dong, but that is not as funny when I don't have a cast laughing at my international dong joke. But it could be fun to, like, use it to meet people and have a little spicy, flirty evening? Who fucking knows? So thank you, Talia, for being on the podcast today to kick off our month-long topic of how to dive into a spicy, hot summer of hookups. And thank you to our honeys for hanging out with me and Cass, because Cass was there in that episode, but for hanging out with us for another week. If you want to send a spicy, flirty, fun, hot, steamy message to us, you can head to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me Podcast. You can leave us a review on Spotify. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on YouTube or TikTok. And I think that is all the ways that I am discoverable as of right now. So thank you for hanging out. We will look forward. I do look forward to seeing you next week. And I hope you guys have just a beautiful rest of your day. Okay. Goodbye.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.